Hello, fair listeners. Before we start the show today, we just wanted to say thank you for listening. If you're enjoying it, please subscribe to the show or leave a review and rating on iTunes. It helps out our show to be seen by more people, which is really important for a new program like ours. Also, just a reminder that if you want to submit a question for us to answer in the Kayfabe 5000, you can ask it to us on Twitter at Ado Wrestling, or on Facebook at Much Ado About Wrestling, or on our official website, muchadowrestling.com. You can drop it in the box on the contact page. Now, onto the show.
Welcome to Much Ado About Wrestling, the show that teaches you how to appreciate the theatrical world of professional wrestling. I am one of your intrepid co-hosts, Andrew Terrence Caberline, and I have with me Mr. Tyler Ward as well. Tyler, how are you?
I am doing real good, Andrew. It is Saturday. Mm-hmm. I went to the gym, got a good workout in, and I'm ready to talk some wrestling.
What did you work on? Your arms, your legs, your mind?
So a little bit of everything. So I started doing Muay Thai classes.
Oh.
Yeah. I think this is, originally I signed up as like, all right, I'm just gonna do something fun to like, you know, work out and stay in shape. But I think it's like low key me fulfilling my dream of like one day becoming a wrestler. like an Aleister Black-esque like striker, like something like that.
How many days into your training are you?
I've been going since October.
Okay, so what kind of,
so a
have
while.
You been like throwing Muay Thai kicks? So they've been like teaching
I've
you
been
technique.
Throwing kicks, some knees, some things like that. Yeah, so I'll keep you posted when I have my debut at the local Richmond Federation GXW.
We'll be there. Yeah. We'll be there for that. Is that an actual Richmond Federation you just said?
It is. Okay, just making sure. GXW, I believe. Mm-hmm. I couldn't tell you what that stands for.
This will come in handy, too. You can be our muscle when we go to Philly in a few weeks.
Oh, yes. And what are we going to Philly for, Andrew?
We're going for the Royal Rumble, which is going to be the next episode. Not this one that you're listening to, but we'll get all into what the Royal Rumble is. It's one of the biggest pay-per-views that exists in wrestling. Some would say probably the biggest after WrestleMania. And we're going to be there. We're going to be trying to get people to give us some questions for the kayfabe machine. If you have any for Royal Rumble specifically, please go send it to us on our website so we can answer those. Mm-hmm. I also want to do some like fun challenge between us. I don't know what it will be.
Oh, boy.
I don't know what the punishment would be. I feel like we should do something where the loser has to get a really terrible t-shirt and wear it the rest of the
weekend. Okay, I like that.
I don't know whose t-shirt that would be. That would be awesome.
Oh boy, that's a tough one. Because I don't know, because there's a lot of like, you'd think you'd like get like, you know, some jobber's shirt or something, but like, I don't know, man. I would totally rock like an Elias t-shirt or something.
Yeah.
Like,
but would you rock like a Curt Hawkins t-shirt all weekend?
Ooh, I don't know. If it's the losing streak, I might.
That might have to be the man. That might actually have to be the t-shirt for whoever loses whatever our challenge is going to be. But yeah, we're going to do a few episodes over that weekend, so really get ready and follow along with us as we do that.
Yeah.
You've been just traveling all over the place, Tyler. You just got back from MAGFest, is that right?
That is true. I got back from MAGFest. MAGFest is the music and gaming festival that happens every year in National Harbor near D.C. It's kind of just like a small version of like Comic-Con, you know, video games.
I didn't know the
music,
M actually stood
like
for music. How much music is there compared to the gaming?
Oh, man, it's probably like 20 to 80, something like that, music to gaming. But, I mean, it's real fun. I participated in a WWE 2K18 tournament there.
Oh, really? How'd you fare?
So I got to the second round. I was playing as the phenomenal one, AJ Styles.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got beaten the second round by Randy Orton.
Okay.
Yeah, out of nowhere.
Out of nowhere, he got you.
He got me.
It's okay.
But it was good. No, it was a blast. Glad to be back, man. Just those holidays when you're traveling around, like, shoot, it can really wear you down.
I'm not in an area where there are, like, malls around me. Over this break, over this Christmas break, me and Chelsea did get to go to a place that had a mall, and I got to go in a Hot Topic and actually look at all of the New Japan shirts.
Did you get some New Japan gear?
I had to stop myself really hard from buying the Alpha Club shirt, the Chris Jericho shirt.
Yeah.
They had all of them there, and they had Bullet Club pins and stuff, and it was the most happy I've probably been in a Hot Topic ever.
Man, I completely keep forgetting about that. Like, I need to just go to a Hot Topic one day.
Yeah. So, we should probably get on to more wrestling stuff now. So, we're going to start with a word of the day. Wow, there's been a lot that's happened since the last time you've heard from us.
A lot. I mean, probably the biggest one is Wrestle Kingdom 12 happened.
Which I did watch. I didn't stay up to watch it. I downloaded it the next day. I now have a weird Japanese PayPal charge on my account. That's okay.
Totally worth it. Totally worth it.
My Bank of America didn't get flagged for me making that purchase, which I'm really surprised at.
Yeah. Fair enough. Well, because I mean, I think they said they got like 20,000 to 30,000 new subscribers just for Wrestle Kingdom. So.
Oh, I think the number has gone up even since then. Like that was the first like report number, and now it's even bigger. But we're not going to have that much time to talk about stuff that has happened. We have a lot to like look forward to in the future. But first, since this is your wrestling class, we got to start with our vocabulary word, our word of the day. And this is, we did gimmick last time. This is another word that's really important to understanding wrestling as a whole. And that word is kayfabe. Kayfabe.
K-A-Y-F-A-B-E.
Yes. I didn't know if you were going to leave the E off there for a second.
For a second I was like, oh yeah, there's an E on it. Yeah.
Do you want to give us the definition of kayfabe, Tyler?
Sure. So, in the simplest terms, without like looking up an actual dictionary of it, kayfabe is the suspension of disbelief in assuming that what you're watching in the wrestling ring is real and actually happening. Mm-hmm. You're assuming that these two competitors are actually fighting; they're actually trying to hurt each other and win this match, and whatever, of course, the stakes are. As well, that you're assuming that everything is real. It's in terms of translating it simply to like when you're at the theater, when you're watching a play, you know, if you're watching Death of a Salesman, you know that that's not actually a salesman up there.
I hope you know that.
I hope you know that.
But I hope that you're not seeing like a really local community theater where like the guy playing Willie Loman might actually also be a salesman in real life. That would be really sad.
He could be. I mean, that'd be super meta if he was. But
do we need to write the play Death of a Salesman that's about a salesman doing his community theater?
I feel like that would be really good.
Or terrible. We'll make it happen.
The more actual definition of it, kayfabe is the fact or convention of presenting stage performances as genuine or authentic.
Yes, which is, this is kind of the thing that pro wrestling hinders on as like working. You mentioned the fact that like you watch a movie or a play and you know that they are actors and you're able to, while you're watching, get caught up in the world. But when the movie ends, you are like, oh great, who played the voice of Paddington? Oh, it was that guy. When you look at the credits, wrestling is a bit different as an entertainment form because there are no credits. Kayfabe is kept. The suspension of disbelief is supposed to be kept 24/7. Obviously, if you're listening to this show, we've already gone into some of the ways that it is not. But kayfabe is the really kind of fun way to view wrestling as a consumer. And the actual term itself, it's like a funny word. It comes from the original days of wrestling, which goes back to the carnival circuit and carnies. And it is kind of in between like a gypsy pig Latin carny talk. And it's supposed to mean be fake. So if we're running the old scam at the carnival where I'm a healer and Tyler is a guy who can't walk, and I take him out of the crowd and I like put my hand on his head and like, you can walk now. And he totally does.
And then I stand up triumphantly. Mm-hmm. Oh, I've been healed.
Yeah, so after the show, if we're just behind the tent smoking, talking about how we really didn't...
how we got those marks.
Yeah, and a kid walks up, and Tyler maybe sees that the kid is walking up, he would say kayfabe real fast, and then we would go back to assuming our characters. So it's like picture that, you know, Chris Pratt goes to the set for the new Jurassic Park movie and spends all day in character as, you know, a guy who's like afraid of dinosaurs or like with dinosaurs, and then he goes out into the real world and can't be Chris Pratt anymore. He has to keep up the illusion that he's afraid of dinosaurs. It's a really exhausting thing to think of.
And that, and going back to your point about how with wrestling there's no credits, so there's no like curtain call at the end of the play. The curtains close, they reopen, the actors come out, and you applaud them because their job is done. You know they are no longer the characters. You know this is the person who is playing the character. That doesn't happen in wrestling usually. No. So there's no definitive point where like, okay, we are no longer characters, we are just the people. So in terms of the lines being blurred of like, what is real, what is kayfabe, and especially with a lot of wrestlers nowadays, they wrestle under their actual names, their legal names. So it blurs the lines of like, is this real? Is this just, are they putting on their character here? And it's a double-edged sword in that like it helps for the actual business of wrestling because the most intriguing wrestling storylines are the ones that you think are real.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you think that these two legit hate each other, like God, you want to see that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's just like that's the most intriguing wrestling storylines, is the ones that you're like, I don't know if this is just a storyline, if these two legit like don't like each other.
Mm-hmm.
And so it works for the business, for like the actual wrestlers, because when you can blur those lines without people knowing the truth, like that's a draw. I mean, people are going to pay to see that.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, the flip side for the viewer, it's confusing as hell.
Yeah. And it's something that is becoming harder and harder to do as time goes on, as the internet happens, as wrestlers have Twitter accounts where they're just trying to be themselves on a daily basis, when there's podcasts like ours talking about how wrestling is written. And it's really different the way that wrestlers have to behave to keep up this kayfabe now as opposed to 20 years ago when, you know, if two wrestlers are in a feud with each other on air, they can't be seen with each other when they're traveling on the road. Or if all the wrestlers go to a bar afterwards and people come in and know who they are, well, then all the good guys got to go to one corner of the bar and all the bad guys got to go to another corner. You don't see that quite as much anymore, but that is...
Yeah, I mean, back in the 80s and stuff, like, if you walked into a bar and you saw Ric Flair hanging out with Dusty Rhodes, you'd be like, wait a minute. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, the chances are pretty high in the 80s of walking into a bar and seeing Ric Flair, I think.
Yeah. I have actually... Okay, so funny story.
Go for
it. Didn't happen to me. A friend of mine who I grew up with as a kid, he would always tell me this story because he knew I was a big wrestling fan. He would always tell me this story about how one of his dad's friends, I think it might have been his uncle or something, one of his dad's friends used to be a bouncer in this bar in North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And he would always tell this story about one night that he got to throw Ric Flair out of a bar. He would always tell me the story because he knew I liked wrestling. And I was like, man, that's awesome. I would just love to hear him tell me that. Like, what were the circumstances? What was he doing?
We've talked about the actor analogy. Are there any other examples you could think of in daily life, Tyler, where people keep up kayfabe?
Oh, man. I think, acting thing is the most common one that you can really relate it to, the idea of a performance being put on for someone. But I mean, if you're thinking about that way.
Another great example of this is a controversial take is things like Santa Claus or the Tooth Fairy.
Mm-hmm.
Things where, I know some people are being like, well, yeah, what about it? They, you know, the Tooth Fairy visits my bed every time I lose a tooth and gives me a quarter.
Don't break kayfabe.
Yeah. things that parents keep up with their children to kind of keep this wonderment in their eyes of you know, what kind of magic can exist in the real world. Mm-hmm. That is a really great example of kayfabe for me. Mm. And I wasn't raised in a wrestling family, but I know plenty of people who have had kids who then try to keep it a secret that the wrestling is staged for as long as humanly possible. They try to keep that kayfabe. So that maybe isn't a better way to think of it than like an actor. You know, I would feel really bad for some poor kid if their parents were trying to convince them that there were no actors and that everything they see in a movie is real. That would be torture.
No, Jimmy, that is Harry Potter.
Oh,
he
no.
is a
poor
wizard.
Jimmy. Oh, God. Yeah. Well, that's actually, you stumbled into another good point. That, places like Disneyland, Disney World, where they have those like heavily themed portions of the theme park, like Harry Potter World, where every employee there is not an employee but a cast member, and everyone has a character, and no one ever, like, you'd be like, where's the bathroom, and they would answer it in character rather than being like, it's over there,
over, you know? Yonder.
yeah and you'd be like, please just tell me like where the men's room is. That is another example of kayfabe in like a bigger sense. Can you think of some favorite moments in wrestling that people should check out where like kayfabe has either been upheld really well or maybe like not so well?
I mean, my absolute favorite moment of breaking kayfabe, and favorite might be the wrong word. The most prolific moment of breaking kayfabe for me was after the Benoit tragedy.
Yeah.
Chris Benoit was a wrestler for WWE from the 90s to like the mid 2000s. It was in the news. There was a horrible tragedy where he had murdered his family and committed suicide and stuff. It was awful, completely horrible.
Yeah.
But so the reason why this was a thing on TV is the weeks leading up into this tragedy, Vince McMahon, the head of the company, he is a prominent on-screen character. He had this storyline going on where the week before this happened, he was quote-unquote murdered on television.
Yeah.
He
got into a car that blew up.
Yes, he was exiting the arena. He gets into a limousine, and on screen, we see it explode. So this was a crazy storyline. And I mean, because I think that was the end of the episode. There was no follow-up. It was like...
Yeah, that's how... It was like a cold closing, and media started reporting on it almost... Like, ESPN was keeping kayfabe.
Yeah,
like, oh,
yeah.
Vince McMahon died yesterday. And they all had a kind of like a smile on their face.
But
yeah.
So this was a crazy storyline. Like, honestly, like, I had never seen anything like this in wrestling before. So
yeah.
I was super intrigued.
It was cuckoo bananas.
And then, of course, a few days later was when the Benoit tragedy happened. And then the next Raw, when the next Raw came around on Monday...
I think it was actually on Tuesday night, ECW. Because on Monday, they knew that he had died, but it was an open investigation,
yeah,
so they didn't know how. So I remember this really vividly.
That's an episode
Raw,
you will never see again.
Yeah, I'm sure that tape has been destroyed because it was a tribute episode to him. Because they just knew that he had died and they didn't know how.
As they traditionally do, when they hear that a wrestler has passed away, they will, depending on their popularity and their impact on the business, they will sometimes have a tribute episode to them, like, you know, interviewing their colleagues and their friends and things like that. So
showing their best matches.
Yeah. So they had this episode for Chris Benoit before they knew the details of the events and everything.
Murder.
So the following day, I guess it was, this must have been when ECW was happening. Yeah.
Yeah, it was Tuesday ECW on Sci-Fi.
But so they had the storyline, like, Mr. McMahon blew up in a car. We don't know if we think he's dead. Next week, we see him in the ring and or in an interview or something. Basically him just saying how, referencing the events of the Benoit tragedy. Basically what they did was the storyline they had leading up to that of Vince McMahon possibly dying in a car explosion, they just scrapped it. They were like, all right, that never happened. Nope, not anymore.
Yeah.
And for me, I mean, that is the definition of breaking kayfabe, is that they had this crazy storyline, and then because of other outside things that happened, they literally just like, okay, not happening anymore. We're not doing that.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Last night on Monday Night Raw, the WWE presented a special tribute show, recognizing the career of Chris Benoit. However, now some 26 hours later, the facts of this horrific tragedy are now apparent. Therefore, other than my comments, there will be no mention of Mr. Benoit's name tonight. On the contrary, tonight's show will be dedicated to everyone who has been affected by this terrible incident. This evening marks the first step of the healing process.
I think there's a few little moments that break kayfabe that I think are a lot of fun. Even like this last week on Raw with the newly designed Balor Club, the old members of the Bullet Club, in a throwaway thing, we're talking about going out in the town in Japan and mentioned by name the other Tongan members.
Tama Tongan, Fale.
Yeah, which is it's almost like an Easter egg, but it totally breaks kayfabe for a little bit and acknowledges wrestling outside of WWE, which is not in the same cinematic universe, if you think of it that way.
It'd be like Captain America talking about Batman. It's not going to happen.
I think that for me, the most infamous one might actually be the Montreal Screwjob.
Ooh, yeah. Oh, that's definitely a number two.
Yeah. That is a moment that probably the biggest moment after the Benoit death as like a company. Well, maybe the Owen Hart death, but we won't get into wrestling deaths this episode. On purpose. Yeah. But Bret Hart was in real life going to leave the WWF for WCW.
Who was their biggest rival at the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was the biggest champion in WWF, and his contract was going to run out in his hometown in Canada, and he didn't want to lose the title there to Shawn Michaels, who in real life he had very big problems with.
Had some beef.
Personal problems. And so he negotiated that the next night on Raw, he would lose it not in his hometown. And a collection of people changed how the match was going to end without telling Bret. And that moment breaks kayfabe, if only because you're watching it and you can tell. It's like watching a play where people forget their lines because you can tell something's wrong, but you don't know exactly what.
Yeah.
And it was such a compelling moment of breaking kayfabe that now in kayfabe, every promotion since, including WWE, has run a billion angles that are meant to look like that exact moment as well.
When it happened, it was a huge draw because, again, it was one of those things where people were like, I don't know what's happening, but either something is real and like these two or something went wrong that wasn't supposed to go down, or this is just a weird storyline that we have never seen before. And either way, I am super intrigued. So,
But you see that now in wrestling, that the things that are kayfabed in storyline are supposed to look as realistic as possible. And I think it stems from that incident, that screw job, because that was such an intriguing thing that they're like, okay, well, this is what people are into. So you see that kayfabe has to evolve because fans are becoming smarter and becoming more interested in what's going on backstage. So what's happening on screen has to adapt as well.
You can either uphold kayfabe for a storyline, or you can pseudo break kayfabe but still within a storyline. Like these are the parts of like professional wrestling that as a fan are the hardest to explain to someone who isn't a fan, because it's this idea of like, well, no, it's like sometimes like they're acting, but sometimes they're not, but like sometimes you don't know if they're acting. So like,
yeah,
it's a weird line that gets blurred so much, but there's no art form or entertainment form like quite like it.
No, and it continues to adapt the kayfabe. There's a thing that happens frequently in wrestling, which is a faked injury as like part of a storyline. And it used to be that you could tell, if you were a smart viewer, you could tell if an injury was real or not. Because if it was real, the referee would look to the back and throw up his arms in an X symbol. And that was like their little inside code for, oh, send an actual stretcher. Someone is hurt.
Yeah, don't send a rookie dressed up as an EMT out here. Like, we need an actual EMT.
Mm-hmm. I'm not an EMT, but I play one on wrestling. yeah, they need a real EMT. But I think that the WWE has caught on that people know that, and they've done it a few times now where it's a fake injury and they throw up the X anyway, which is, scares the crap out of me whenever it happens.
Yeah, yeah. But, that's one of the, like, when they're blurring those lines is one of the times where I'm kind of like, oh man, I don't know. Like, because there's many times where, like, when people actually are hurt, and then the idea of, like, well, we're going to use that as a story for someone else pretending like they're actually hurt. So it gets questionable in terms of that, but I mean, it's professional wrestling, so.
I'm sure they have a new symbol now, like real symbol other than the X.
It's got to be something like real subtle that like no one's picked up yet.
We got to try and figure out what that is. Investigative reporters of the internet.
If we look back, like, to the most recent, like, actual injuries in ring,
mm-hmm.
if we could just study that,
like,
footage,
go look at the Sting
just,
injury.
Yeah, or, yeah, yeah. Or, like, when Samoa Joe took out Seth Rollins' leg again or mm-hmm. something like that. Like,
or Samoa Joe this past week on Raw because he messed up his foot.
If we could actually just, like, study the footage and be like, what is that ref doing? But
mm-hmm. yeah,
that'll be another day.
Well, we have a few more topics to talk about where kayfabe is really prevalent. The first one being the upcoming mixed matched challenge. I said that really slow because I wasn't confident in my ability to say it. It was a tongue twister. So if you don't know what this is, starting January 16th on Facebook, WWE is doing a single elimination tournament called the Mixed Match Challenge, where all the matches are mixed tag teams, meaning one man, one woman will be a team. And the winning team will give $100,000 to their favorite charity. Mm. The question is, Tyler, how do you think WWE is going to treat the actual kayfabe in-ring action? They've had a really complicated history with man-on-woman and woman-on-man violence.
Yes. So the idea of women and men wrestling each other in a ring, specifically for WWE, because WWE is the most prominent form of professional wrestling mm-hmm. in the world, it's when people think professional wrestling, like, you know, they're like, oh yeah, like WWE or whatever. So because it's has such a prominent place in entertainment and you know, society, they recently, probably within the last like 10 to 15 years, they will not show any male on female violence, the idea of a man mm-hmm. attacking a woman, they will not show that on TV anymore. And quite frankly, I mean, personally, I think that's a good call. I think that's the right thing to do.
Yeah.
But historically, I mean, back in the 90s, in the Attitude Era, that was something that they did pretty frequently. For shock effect. The idea, I mean,
think like Jerry Springer-esque, like that was what was popular
exactly
at the time,
yeah
too.
Yeah. And I mean, I can't even count the number of times, like, just the brief memory of like Stone Cold Steve Austin coming out to the ring and like hitting some woman with a stunner, like, it literally insert woman here. Like,
mm-hmm. I think really hard about I think specifically of Bubba Ray Dudley power bombing a 80-year-old woman off of the stage through a table. That is the thing that used to happen that I guarantee
you will never see that again. A man like power bombing an 80, that woman, she was someone's grandmother.
Yep.
And he just power bombed her through a table. But anyway, that's not something that they do anymore. It still happens on the indie scene, lesser promotions. They will still do like mixed mm-hmm. gender matches, man versus woman and stuff. And I think it all depends on how you execute it. I mean, I've seen some really like brutal matches between like Candice LeRae and like some other insert male wrestler here. Like, I've seen her like take some bumps in like thumbtacks,
really violent
some
stuff.
Like blood and color. Like, so depending how you do it, I think it could be good. Specifically with WWE, I don't think we're gonna see anything like that. I don't see Braun Strowman power slamming Bayley. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I don't see that.
Well, that brings up a huge difficulty with this. As we were saying, when mixed tag matches have worked, it's been because either weapons equalized any physical disadvantage that women have against men, mm-hmm. or it's been a smaller man facing the woman, so that that doesn't look as unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Not to say that a woman can't beat up a man, she certainly can, but if everyone is supposed to be professional fighters, that, you know, hurts that.
And also, I mean, purely just the size difference, like Braun Strowman is 6'8", 370 pounds. Like, he's a big old boy.
Why is he selected for this tournament? I think it could have been made more realistic by keeping everybody around the Finn Balor size.
Yeah, yeah, the more like 6 foot area, mm-hmm. about 200 pounds. But I mean, again, with the actual in ring matches, it's going to be interesting because what they have done recently. I mean, in a mixed tag match. Like, they'll happen before. There was a mixed tag match last year at WrestleMania between John Cena, Nikki Bella, and The Miz and his wife Maryse. So they happen, but what they do is within the rules of the match is that whenever a competitor of an opposite gender is tagged into the ring to become the current, like, active wrestler.
The legal man.
The legal man. There you go. The legal wrestler. Mm-hmm. The opposite team is required to match that gender, essentially. So if Miz tags his wife Maryse in, John Cena then has to tag in Nikki Bella. He can't wrestle Maryse. So I could,
which takes away a big part of the psychology of tag matches, which is that one person gets beat up by the other two forever until they can get their fresh partner.
Exactly. Yeah. So I'm confident that's how the upcoming mixed match tournament is going to go. It's going to be gender specific like that, but
they've been tight-lipped about the exact format of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think maybe they were flirting with the idea of having more, you know, interference, but after WWE wrestler Rich Swann just got arrested for beating his wife,
I think
that probably put the kibosh on any.
That wasn't good.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think it's going to be an interesting thing to see in terms of, like, again, upholding kayfabe. That you're not going to have Braun Strowman in there fighting Bayley or something like that. But what they do allow within WWE, and some people would say, you know, like it's not equal or anything like that, but they do have female violence on men, which that's still something that WWE sees as okay. And I mean, I'm okay with it because 9 times out of 10, it's a comedy spot. Like, it's not intended to be a woman actually, like, physically trying to hurt the guy. It's mostly intended to be a comedy thing. So I'm sure we'll see some spots like that. Like, who is Nia Jax teaming with?
Apollo Crews.
So Nia Jax is a female competitor in the WWE women's division who she is essentially like their Andre the Giant almost. Like, she's
physically imposing.
She's probably about 6'2", 6'3", 250, 275. Like, she is she's a very physically imposing wrestler. And I could easily see her, you know, say they had a match with Sami Zayn and Becky Lynch. I could easily see Nia Jax, like, hitting Sami Zayn with a suplex or something.
Yeah, that would actually be a really great first round matchup. Unfortunately, that's not who they're facing in the first round. They're facing Bobby Roode and Charlotte Flair, who are being known now as the Robe Warriors, which I think is really great.
that's the best name I've ever heard.
Yeah, I think that's really fun. But I think you've kind of hit the nail on the head, Tyler, that I think also this being on Facebook as a platform and their first show that's on Facebook, I think you're going to see shorter matches. It's going to be really basic wrestling maneuvers, really, like, simple storytelling.
Yeah.
And a lot more, like, backstage segments and getting to know the people. I think the idea behind this tournament is going to be to try to get people who wouldn't normally watch wrestling to watch it.
Yeah, I agree. Absolutely. Yeah. And especially since they're doing it where it's going to be streaming on Facebook is the primary outlet for it. Like, it's part of that, but, like, they're experimenting with these, like, new ways to get the product to you. So I think it'll be interesting. Like, I'm looking forward to it.
Also, in the big upcoming kayfabe items, tonight, if you're listening to this when we release it, tonight is the 25th anniversary of Monday Night Raw. Scheduled to appear on it are a whole lot of stars from yesteryear. I'm going to put on my glasses and list them off. I'm not wearing glasses. That's me breaking kayfabe. Appearing will be Stone Cold Steve Austin, The Undertaker, Ric Flair, Shawn Michaels, Triple H, The Dudley Boys, Kevin Nash, Scott Hall, The New Age Outlaws, Booker T, JBL, Ron Simmons, The Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase, Brother Love, The Boogeyman, Teddy Long, Johnny Ace, John Laurinaitis, Sergeant Slaughter, The Bella Twins. We're also going to have the broadcasting duo of Jim Ross and Jerry the King Lawler, and current free agent John Cena has also been announced to be on the card.
That's a stacked card right there.
That's a lot of people. Shoot. I wonder how many actual current wrestlers we'll see, because that's just like as many people that there are.
That is a lot. Well, I think I read another article this week that Triple H was telling media or something that it's going to be a 5-hour event. Now, they're still...
Are you kidding me?
I'm not. So, but here's the thing. So they're still broadcasting only 3 hours on the USA Network. But there is going to be 2 hours of something happening beforehand that if you're watching on cable television, you're not going to see. But
interesting.
I'm sure we're going to get little video cameos of like, so before we went on the air, this happened or this happened. But yeah. So that'll be interesting.
Mm-hmm. They've done these kinds of things before with anniversaries, not to this extent, but with just the sheer number of people, but they've had DX come back, which I'm sure we're going to get again based on the people I listed.
Oh, yeah.
And you have Stone Cold come to WrestleMania and beat up the New Day, or you have DX beat up the Ascension. What I'm getting at is a problem with kayfabe is that you want to have these stars of yesterday on the show and have people get excited about it. And you want to see them do the things that you remember them for. But in true kayfabe logic, they should be losing to the current younger superstars.
Yeah, because I mean, this is a problem that WWE has had for a while, is the idea of relying on the popularity of past stars, you know what I mean? So like last year, one of the quote-unquote main events of WrestleMania was Brock Lesnar versus Goldberg. Bill Goldberg is in his 50s? Maybe?
Yeah.
Hadn't wrestled a match.
I can double check that for you.
He hadn't wrestled a match in 13 years. Like, but...
In WWE.
But when he was a wrestler, back in the 90s and the early 2000s, man, he was so hot. Like, he was such a draw that's, like, he was a huge draw. And the fact of that WWE relies so much on these past stars to draw ticket sales for these current shows, it's hindering on these new stars that you want to build up. Like, it's very hard for me to believe that, you know, 50-year-old insert past wrestling star here can
Goldberg is 51, by the way. 51. So you're right.
Goldberg might have been a bad example for this, because I still think Bill Goldberg could beat a lot of people legit. So
it was going to be tough to look at Kevin Nash, who's had a billion quad surgeries.
Yeah, like that dude does not Scott walk Hall. Very well.
yeah. It's going to be hard to see them.
It's an interesting thing that they do. And like a lot of people, you know, criticize WWE for it. But I mean, what are you going to do?
So what's the best way to have your cake and eat it too, to have these people on the show but not at the expense of younger wrestlers?
I'm going to say don't have them wrestle. The only person of that laundry list of stars who are going to be there who I want to see in the ring and maybe like throw out some punches or something would be Stone Cold Steve Austin. Just because it's Steve Austin, like that's been his MO since the 90s, is he goes in there, he hits a stunner, he chugs some beers, and gets out of there. And like, I'm totally cool with seeing that, but I don't want to see anyone else like in a match. I don't want to see anyone like in a backstage angle where they like beat down one of the current guys. I don't want to see any of it. No.
I'll tell you what I do want to see. I want to see in-ring promo between the NWO. I should add that since that list that I read, since then, Sean Waltman, X-Pac, has been added to that as well.
Okay.
So I really want to see some semblance of the NWO get bested in the ring by the newly formed Balor Club. I want to see a passing of the torch that way. I don't think we're going to see
I don't think we're going to see
that.
That
would be really smart.
But you know what we're definitely seeing? We're definitely seeing like a 6 or 7 man too sweet between the Balor Club and NWO. You know that's happening.
Yeah, I'd still be okay with that. You know what we're also reportedly going to see? It's going to be really tough to watch. Is the beginning of a WrestleMania storyline on this Monday between John Cena and The Undertaker.
No.
Yeah.
No, that's not going to happen.
I would be willing to bet money on it.
Man, I mean,
The Undertaker, who had his retirement, I'm doing air quotes, match last year at WrestleMania, and that was a pretty painful match to watch. Brother Love has said in some interviews, Bruce Pritchard has said that, you know, Undertaker just had his hip surgery and is moving better than he has, quote, in 10 years. And it's looking like this will probably be the main event of WrestleMania this year. It's John Cena versus The Undertaker in a retirement match. That is what I'm hearing. We'll know better tonight. I think if that is going to be the thing, then it will absolutely be the biggest part of the show.
Yeah, Monday. I agree. Honest man, I hope that doesn't happen. But it's it's professional wrestling, so I guess we'll just wait and see. Yeah. That'll be a good show. Looking forward to it. It's going to be interesting. But I think, Andrew, it is time. I've done some extra changes. I've made some changes to the Kayfabe 5000. I've updated some pieces to it. I think it's going to be a little more effective this time. We might be
good,
able...
because I had a really bad headache for like a day.
I've updated some things, ran some diagnostics. I think we're going to be able to stay in just a little longer this time without the detrimental effects. So would you like to hop in to the KFA 5000
with
me?
Yeah, let me get in, get strapped in here.
Strapped in, all right.
Okay, I'm good.
All right, I'm going to flip this switch, and we're going. So remember, just hold on tight, and we're going to see what happens. Hitting the switch now.
Oh, yeah!
I wish you died in the womb!
Oof.
Okay. Oh. See, a little smoother. A little smoother this time.
Yeah, I didn't have to use the air sickness bag
this time.
That's a great feature, by the way, that you've put in this.
I did. You know, I thought it was important to add these things. It's the least I can do. It's the least I can do. So let's get started. Yeah. First question that we have here for the Kayfabe 5000. How, Andrew, I ask you, how will Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens work together at the Royal Rumble in their WWE Heavyweight Championship match against the champion AJ Styles?
Yeah, so this is an interesting one. It's a handicap match, and normally the champion would be at a disadvantage going up against two people, especially two people who are best friends, the way that Sami and Kevin are.
The best of friends.
But they can't both pin AJ and have the title. It's a one-person title.
Hold on now.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
I think Kevin Owens established on this past week of SmackDown that they are, should they win, and I do believe that they will, when they win, they will be the first ever co-WWE champions. So right there, I think this is going to eliminate the possibility of any infighting between Sami and Kevin. We're not going to see any friendships, any rivalries here. Like, these are two guys who are going to work to beat AJ Styles and become the first ever co-champions. And
here's what I'll say, though, is that AJ is the fastest competitor in WWE today. And I feel like if he's going to win, and I think he's going to eke it out somehow, that he is going to win it by constantly moving. And kind of I know Kevin can't move that fast, and Sami has some legs on him, but I think what AJ is going to have to do is get them both running at him and like move out of the way, have them bonk heads together, and then I think that will be the end of this
coalition. Three Stooges style. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, but with like two Stooges instead.
With two Stooges, of course. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. It's possible. I mean, I could see that happening, but I don't know. I mean, I think that 2-on-1 advantage is gonna bring that title home to Sammy and Kevin. Now the question is, since they're gonna be co-champions, who's carrying the title around when they travel, when they're hitting the airport? Is Kevin carrying it? Is Sammy carrying it? Or...
I think Kevin will demand that he carries it
everywhere
except for when they get in the security line at the airport, and then he'll be like, you can have it, Sammy.
Here, Sammy, hold on to this for a second.
Yeah, I think that's probably what will happen. Maybe they'll cut it in half. Maybe it'll be like a really, really big belt that they get together and like snap it in, and they'll be it'll be around both their waists. But again, I don't think we're going to have to worry about
like,
this, in my opinion.
Wonder Twins power activate. They clip the belt together to become the WWE champion. I like it.
So the next question we have is about Wrestle Kingdom from this past week. The inconsistent refereeing from Red Shoes, the referee, during the Chris Jericho Kenny Omega match. Who did it benefit in the end?
I mean, in the end, Kenny Omega did win the match, so you could argue that Kenny Omega benefited the most from Red Shoes' inconsistencies. But, honestly, I think it benefited Chris Jericho the most. Chris Jericho took a lot of liberty in that match. Of course, it was a no disqualification match, so, I mean, you can't sit there and call it and say he was cheating or anything. There were no rules.
But even then, he was going a bit far.
He was going a bit far, but he wanted to win the match. Jericho's a professional, right? Mm-hmm. He's going to come out there, he's going to do what he has to win. I think Red Shoes understood the magnitude of this match, and he was going to allow the rules, quote-unquote rules, it was a no disqualification match, to be bent a little bit to allow a little more excitement in there.
I have an issue with it, though, because in the opening moments of the match, Chris Jericho got Kenny Omega in the walls really early, and, you know, Kenny got to the ropes, and of course there was no rope break because it was a no DQ match. Mm-hmm. But then later in the match, Kenny hits his finisher and goes to pin Chris Jericho, and Chris Jericho got a hand on the bottom rope, and that ended the pin. But how can those both can't be the rules? It can't work both ways, you know. And I feel like in both of those situations, it helped out Jericho. So I'm wondering, did Jericho like pay off Red Shoes? And if so, what should the punishment be?
I think someone's grasping at straws over here. To think that Chris Jericho...
What's wrong with straws? I like straws. It's how I prefer to drink my Coke.
To think that a man with the level of integrity like Chris Jericho would attempt to pay off an official to help him in this match, I think it's ludicrous. We saw in the match, Red Shoe's son, one of the young boys, was giving Chris Jericho some lip, so he had to put him in the walls himself.
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, maybe if Chris wasn't spending so much time on things that and people that weren't important, maybe he wouldn't have lost the match. Just saying.
Oh, sir, them's fighting words.
Don't tell Chris Jericho. I don't want him to know that I'm putting out fighting words.
When I attend the next Fozzy show, I will inform him.
Don't tell him, because I don't want to fight him on his cruise, because I get seasick really easily. The next question is, which tag team tandem do you think has the best odds to win at the mixed match challenge?
No question. Braun Strowman, Alexa Bliss.
Really? No question?
That's no question.
Not even a single one.
Braun Strowman, Alexa Bliss. Alexa Bliss is the reigning WWE Women's Champion on Raw, and Braun Strowman is the monster among men. Make your case.
Well, you know, they're not necessarily my favorite people in the world, but I think that the winners are going to be The Miz and Asuka. I think that Asuka has Alexa Bliss's number. It's been shown. While she hasn't won a women's title in the main roster, she hasn't lost in forever. And I think, you know, every minute that she is in the match, it just decreases the odds of anybody else winning. And The Miz is no slouch either. In fact, when The Miz has gone up against Braun Strowman, he has despite a big size disadvantage, he's been able to elude him, except the time he got thrown in a trash compactor, or other way around. But, you know, The Miz is also decorated himself. He's a movie star. He is the IC champion, maybe not after tonight, though. And he was Rolling Stone's Best Wrestler of the Year, and I love Rolling Stone magazine, so I think they're the team to beat.
I mean, I guess we'll see what happens, but I mean, I don't see how you're going to beat a monster among men. Miz, what is Miz? He's an actor. He's a movie star. How is that?
Reality show competitor.
He's a reality show competitor. How is that going to help him against someone like Braun Strowman?
I mean, he knows how to win in mixed match challenges. I mean, he won every season of the Real World Road Rules Challenge Battle of the Sexes that he was on. Just saying. He has experience here that no one has thought of, I'm sure.
I'll give you that one. That is a fair point.
Although I'll also say that if the matches are on Rusev Day, then I'm picking Rusev and Lana.
Ooh, that's true. I will also do that. Given that it is Rusev.
Given that's on Rusev Day.
Yes.
They haven't scheduled their matches yet, so we don't. That's yet to be seen.
Of course. Yes.
Do you have another question for us, Tyler?
I do. So this one, if you were viewing Raw this past week, we saw a great stare down in the ring between one Bray Wyatt and one Woken Matt Hardy. Now, in this stare down, they seem to be having a laugh off. Now, say what you say what you will about professional wrestling. Some might call it silly. But, man, what do you think was actually going on in that ring?
I don't know. I don't like to think about this. They both kind of give me the heebie-jeebies.
Okay.
Bray Wyatt is clearly some sort of charlatan magician.
I mean, he's the eater of worlds.
Yeah, and I like my world. I was going to say,
when was the last time you ate a world, Andrew?
I haven't. I'm trying to eat less red meat. So
That's fair.
So I'm trying to watch my diet, but I also I preferred, you know, like Hardy Boys, Matt Hardy. This new version of him, this woken version of him, is so strange that I can't quite put my finger on it. And I feel like when they're laughing at each other, they're speaking some sort of like speaking in tongues almost, like they understand what's going on, but I would rather just not think about it.
You know, I could see, you know, woken Matt Hardy has said recently that he is familiar with Bray Wyatt. He's met him before. This Sister Abigail, who Bray Wyatt channels his powers through. Woken Matt Hardy has had a long history with Sister Abigail. Thousands, eons back that he has known this entity. And I think it's very possible the two of them could have had some sort of telepathy going, maybe. Maybe they were having a large conversation in their head. Maybe they were just kind of, you know, shooting the shit, actually. Maybe they were just telling some sweet jokes and laughing at each other.
Are you saying that this might be a spooky love triangle? I mean, it's a sister, but
I'm not saying that's not what it is.
Okay. That's probably, the less the said, probably the better. We got one more question right now. The 25th anniversary of Raw, of course, is tonight. Tyler, Professor Ward, what is the best moment, in your opinion, from the past 25 years of Raw?
Look, WWE Monday Night Raw has been on cable for 25 years. That in itself is an achievement, all right? They love to let us know it's the longest-running weekly episodic cable television show in history. So we've seen a lot of amazing things happen on Raw in the last 25 years. We've seen garbage trucks that possibly may or may not have murdered someone in crushing them. Mm-hmm. We've seen people emerge from said garbage trucks. We've seen people showered with milk in the ring. We see people showered with beer in the ring. We've seen a lot of things happen on Monday Night Raw.
A lot of showers.
But the absolute best moment of Monday Night Raw in the past 25 years has got to be the pipe bomb by CM Punk.
Ooh.
Yeah, so this was a moment on the June 27th, 2011 episode of Monday Night Raw where CM Punk finally got to air his grievances just against all of the horrible, unfair treatment that he's been receiving from his employer. And I think everyone can relate to that. Anyone who's ever had a a job where you just felt like you weren't appreciated for what you were doing. CM Punk was, you could see yourself in him that night because he was just letting it all out of any time that you felt your boss was being unfair to you, you were just telling them to their face. And man, that just,
Championship, I have a lot of things I want to get off my chest. I don't hate you, John. I don't even dislike you. I do like you. I like you a hell of a lot more than I like most people in the back. I hate this idea that you're the best. Because you're not. I'm the best. I'm the best in the world. There's one thing you're better at than I am, and that's kissing Vince McMahon's ass. You're as good as kissing Vince's ass as Hulk Hogan was. I don't know if you're as good as Dwayne, though. He's a pretty good ass kisser. Always was and still is. Oops, I'm breaking the fourth wall. The reason I'm leaving is you people, because after I'm gone, you're still gonna pour money into this company. I'm just a spoke on the wheel. The wheel's gonna keep turning, and I understand that. But Vince McMahon's gonna make money despite himself. He's a millionaire who should be a billionaire. You know why he's not a billionaire? It's because he surrounds himself with glad-handing, nonsensical yes men like John Laurinaitis, who's going to tell him everything that he wants to hear. And I'd like to think that maybe this company will be better after Vince McMahon's dead. But the fact is, it's going to get taken over by his idiotic daughter and his doofus son-in-law and the rest of his stupid family.
My favorite moment from the history of Raw is from way back, actually, in the first year of Raw, in 1993, on the May 17th episode, when the 1-2-3 Kid earned his name by getting an upset pinfall victory over the bigger, stronger Razor Ramon.
The bad guy.
It was the bad guy. Ooh. Yeah. And, you know, the bad guy won a lot, but I think this moment was so iconic for everybody because it was one of the first times on Raw where you saw that a good guy can win and overcome any kind of circumstance.
Mm-hmm.
That good can defeat evil. And, you know, I really, the 1-2-3 Kid became cemented as an important player from then on out.
Well, maybe for you, that just sounds unrealistic to me, but...
Well, it happened. You can look at the tape. So.
Razor Ramon playing around and having fun.
You ever see the way a cat will get a bird caught and knock the feathers off it before it devours it? Same thing.
Oh, my goodness. It, whoa,
all
Razor.
Right.
Razor missing. Boy, he really came in with that elbow. And I think Razor stays. One, oh, wait a minute. Man. One, two, three. One.
What is this? He got him.
The he kid, got him. The kid can't believe it. He beat Razor Ramon.
All right, Andrew, I'm not feeling too well. You know, we've been in this a while. I think the room's starting to spin in. I don't know if that's a part of the machine or something happened to apartment.
Feels
when I wasn't
like Twin
aware
Peaks.
Of it.
I don't like it.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. All right, I'm going to turn this thing off. Get ready.
Put that cigarette out.
It's still real to me, damn it.
We will ban you from the Summerfest.
You'll be banned from SummerSlam, is what you're saying.
SummerSlam.
I'm slammed out.
Hey, Colt Cabana, how you doing?
Oh boy.
You know, I'm feeling a little better than last time, but
speak for yourself. I think you need to do some more tweaks.
Oh yeah. I'm gonna get the team of scientists to take a look at it, see what they can tweak, see what they can make better out of it. But so far that was pretty successful, I think.
Yeah, I agree. Begrudgingly. We're kind of running out of time, Tyler. We got time for one more segment, and it is undercard MVPs. So I'm going to go with my undercard MVP, and this is a sad one. It's one that I'm about to break some news to Tyler on it.
Before we started recording this, Andrew told me about this, and I haven't heard this story yet, so this is all in real time.
Yeah, this is a late-breaking story to when we're recording it. So PW Insider has reported it, and a bunch of other places have picked it up in the last 24 hours, that Paige, WWE wrestler Paige, was told at Raw last night that as a result of an injury on a house show earlier this week, that her wrestling career is over.
What?
So she was in a match against Sasha Banks this weekend. Whoa. And took a kick to the back that gave her a stinger.
I remember the clip.
Took her to the back. She was told at Raw that, similar to wrestlers Sting and Edge, mm-hmm. that this was that same kind of injury. She just came back after being out for more than a year for a neck injury. And now her neck is too susceptible to like paralysis. So she is not wrestling anymore, or won't be.
Wow.
And the reason that she's my MVP of the week is that, according to the reports, she was told this before Raw went on the air,
mm-hmm.
and still went out there and
was still on Raw in a match.
Yeah, and I'm not sure that getting that news, I could have been like, I'll still go out there and do my thing.
Man,
Paige is only 25 years old and has had a really contentious last year and a half. Mm-hmm. It looked like things were starting to get better for her. I wish her the best, and I hope that she is able to get a new focus and do some great stuff.
Man, that is hard. Wow. I mean, I've always liked Paige. I thought she was always a pretty good wrestler, but I think in terms of just character is where she excelled. She's a very great performer, purely in that aspect. It's upsetting. I mean, yes, this is the end of her in-ring career, but I think she's still going to have a long career ahead of her if she chooses to be just an on-screen mm-hmm. personality, whether it be a manager, something like that. I think about how interesting this could be, say, next year when Daniel Bryan's contract is up with WWE, say he doesn't re-sign and they have an opening for the SmackDown general manager. That could be very interesting to see Paige fill that. Well, for my undercard MVP this week, if you were watching Raw this week and the previous week, you got to see something that we've been waiting for a really long time for, almost mm-hmm. 2 years. And my undercard MVP this week is specifically the club. I could not be more happy that they are finally reunited with Finn Balor. The Balor Club is full. It is complete. Because I mean, God, when did they debut? Gallus and Anderson debuted
WrestleMania, the Raw after WrestleMania 2 years ago.
2 years ago, and they had the brief stint where they got to team together with AJ for a little bit. Then he got sent to SmackDown.
Like less than 2 months.
Super tiny, and they have just been floundering since then, not doing really anything. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were tag team champs for like a brief stint, but this past year, they have not really been done anything of significance, and I am
same with Finn Balor.
Same
too.
With Finn, yeah. And I'm so happy that they have reunited them as the Balor Club now, because I can see big things in their future now. They just had a match with the pseudo Shield on Monday. Shield being the biggest act in WWE right now, so
yeah,
I'm looking forward to what they do with the Balor Club.
And they won. Yeah,
I'm looking forward to what happens next with the newly formed Balor mm-hmm. Club.
Great. So that is all the time we have this week. Make sure to follow us on Facebook and Twitter. We're at Ado Wrestling. If you have questions for the Kayfabe Machine, specifically Royal Rumble themed ones, give them to us, because we're going to be doing some episodes there in a week and a half, 2 weeks
mm-hmm.
with the Royal Rumble. Yeah.
2 weeks, yeah.
Yeah. Follow us on Facebook, subscribe to us on iTunes, leave us a review, tell us why we're great. We'd love to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any, you have a, well, this will be after. If you're listening to this when we release it on Monday, go back in time a day and go to Tyler's Turbo Mansion concert.
Yeah, yes. If you are in the RVA, Richmond, Virginia area, we're going to have some shows coming up soon. Just you can Facebook Turbo Mansion and you'll find that stuff. Also, you can look up the EP we released at turbomansion.bandcamp.com, all that good stuff there. We're going to be recording an actual album. We bought studio time.
Ooh,
coming up soon. So I will keep you guys posted about when that's coming through.
Yeah, and one of the other podcasts I work on, The Grayscale, has a really big announcement coming up.
Ooh, intriguing.
I think today, depending on when you're listening to this, but go on Twitter and look up at The Grayscale Pod, and you'll see everything going on with a big announcement for that show.
Sounds good.
All right. So until next time, we're going to leave you with the great words of William Shakespeare. If wrestling be the food of love, play on.
Dig it.
Nice. I like that.
We can cut that.
No, I'm going to keep it in.